Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. The Cats are into a preliminary final. Benny's usually in the studio, but he's had to hit the road today and he's on the phone. Benny, did you think we'd be talking about the Cats being in a prelim this week, or would we be doing the post-mortem on the Cats' carcass?
Well, Kenny, I think a large majority of Cat fans thought it might have been the carcass arrangement, but look, it was a pleasant surprise. Well, a surprise for two reasons. One was how well the Cats played right from the get-go, and the other, well, even probably a bigger surprise, was how poor Collingwood were. They were putrid. So, look, it was all Cats. One of the things that I loved, Kingy, was that it probably potentially took the previous week's loss to work it out. You've got to scratch your head as to why, but the Cats played with a bit of urgency. They played with a bit of dare and a bit of take the game on, and that's when they've played their best footy. It wasn't there last week. Even when they were dominating that game, it probably wasn't there 100%, but they went out with a mindset that we're going to take this game on. They took it to Collingwood, and in the end, Collingwood were a rabble. There was a couple of passages of play late in that game where Collingwood had just given up. So it was a great night for the Cats. The other thing, too, was that it just gave them some confidence in a final, and some blokes who potentially were under a little bit of pressure to perform. You know, one of those was Gary Rowan. Played well, gives us some real confidence going into this week.
We got seduced by Collingwood. Is there a worry we could get seduced by the Cats and what they produced last week, or are we more confident they can replicate what they did against Collingwood as opposed to what Collingwood did against West Coast?
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? Because we always get lured into the side that's won and the side that's coming off the loss. Now, Brisbane aren't coming off a loss, obviously. They're coming off a great effort against Richmond, but they've had the week off, so they've been out of mind's eye, and they've the Cats have obviously come in off that, you know, well, an absolute demolition of Collingwood, so we do probably get a little bit seduced by that. We've got to factor in that Brisbane are playing on their own dunghill. They're a year on from last year where they got beaten in a prelim, but they dominated Richmond early in that game. So, I mean, they're a really good football team. So that might help the Cats is that Brisbane now had 2 weeks to think about playing in a grand final, and sometimes that mental game can do funny things when you start to think we're only 4 quarters away from the grand final, particularly when you're a relatively young team. So that might work in Geelong's favour. Cats are experienced. They've just got to play with some dash and dare and take the game to Brisbane. They can't afford to play safe.
Would you make any changes, Benny, or would you keep the same 22?
No, I don't think you could, Kingy, could you? I mean, you know, we called for it last week that there should have been changes. You know, Radicalea, I thought he should have played. You just couldn't make any changes now. What do you do with Dangerfield? I mean, is he kick four? Does he play field more? Does he play forward more? Or does it depend on how the game's going?
I think you start him forward and see how the game unfolds. But then they did that in Adelaide in 2017. He came off a similar situation, kicked 4 in a semi-final. Cats started him forward, and before Geelong knew it, they were 6 goals in arrears and it was too late.
Yeah, look, I'd probably go the reverse. I'd probably start him in the midfield and try and generate something out of the midfield, generate some forward pressure at least on Brisbane. Okay, let's hope that turns into goals, but if it doesn't, you've got, you know, your gun player around the ball. And then if they are starting to win a bit of the ball, maybe they're trying forward. You know, look, either way, you know, they're like you say, though, you do start him forward, and if you kick the first 2 goals, then suddenly you're away. But let's hope, and I said it last week, that, you know, Geelong's first 3 goals aren't from somebody named Tom Hawkins, because it gives Brisbane something to worry about. And it gave Collingwood something to worry about last week, and in the end, they got swamped. Now, Tommy ended up picking 4, which was a great effort, but he wasn't the go-to man straight away, and I just hope Geelong have don't become predictable, particularly if it's tight and tough. It's not going to be as easy as last week. That's the one thing that I'm 100% sure of. Let's try and not be Tom Hawkins focused early, split them open, be unpredictable, and then hopefully Hawkins gets his chances one-on-one.
Some took us to task over our treatment of the coach last week, Benny, but it was a pretty impressive coaching performance. We've got to give credit where it's due.
Yeah, it was. It was. He did. You know, it was a good effort to get that team up. They would have been disappointed after the Port Adelaide loss, even though they probably felt like they played okay. They didn't win. Yeah, look, he did a great job with it. I mean, the Sam Simpson inclusion turned out to be great. He was a couple of passages of play early. He was really good, Sam Simpson, and just gave them a bit more creativity. So, it was a great performance. Let's just go forward after this week. If Geelong were to lose on Saturday night, would you say the year has been a success or a disappointment?
Probably somewhere in between. I know that's sitting on the fence and I'll end up with splinters, but for what the year's thrown and what Geelong have had to do and spend, you know, yes, I think Tuesday was 100 days on the road, you probably need to factor that in to the situation. As much as the Cats have said, we'll embrace it and we'll live it, they've had to obviously still go through it and, you know, they're going to live it longer than most, other than Richmond, the other two clubs that are still alive are the clubs that have slept mostly in their beds for the last 3 or 4 months. So I think you've got to have to factor that in when in the wash-up of the year, Benny, and it won't be a disappointment, but it won't be a success if they got beaten this week. If they make a grand final, even if they got beaten in a grand final, then you deem it a success.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the difficult year. The one thing I'll say is that Geelong seem to have embraced that, as you said. And they got to the finals in really good shape. They didn't limp into the finals, albeit there was a few efforts late in the year there which weren't fantastic. They hit the finals at full steam with the full list.
Yep.
I'd say if they lost on Saturday night, you would err on being slightly disappointing from how they entered the finals. I think if they made a grand final and didn't win, I think you could say that as a success.
Yep.
Let's hope that, the other thing too is that if you look back on the year, and let's hope we're not looking back on it for another 2 weeks and the Cats have won the flag, but they've got guys like, Guthrie and Menegola, albeit have been around a while, have stepped up. They've got another year into Myers. I know Radigalea is not part of the mix right now, but I think he is long-term.
Correct.
I was it reading during the week that the Cats are basically hell-bent on getting Jeremy Cameron. Have you heard anything there? Is that deal basically happening or not?
I think it will happen. It will happen. Cameron's got to make a decision. It's down to the Giants and the Cats, but I suspect the Cats are sitting in the box seat right now. With everything we know about, we believe the Cameron family or the parents live in Geelong. It all makes sense that he's coming this way, but I suppose nothing's going to happen until the Cats' commitments are done, playing-wise, and that's when it'll probably ramp up. I think trade week, free agency and all that starts on the 30th of October, and then we work from there. So I wouldn't be shocked if he stayed at the Giants, but I'd probably be a little bit surprised. I suspect he's coming to Geelong, Benny.
If he hasn't signed with the Giants by now, I find it staggering that he would sign with the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, most 9 times out of 10, those sorts of deals the player ends up leaving, given that the deal from the Giants would have been there. I'd imagine the deal from Geelong has been there as well. He hasn't made a decision yet. The Giants season finished 2 or 3 weeks ago. The team that he's looking to go to is still playing, so he's not going to announce it while they're still playing.
No. But the other thing, Benny, that might be in consideration is that, Ablett will retire, but who else will go out the door with him and how much money is then freed up? And then, maybe Jeremy's manager's waiting to see what's in the kitty at the Cats, for likes of a Taylor say, well, I'm done, and there might be a couple of others that go, well, do you want a flag? I might be happy to go out on that.
You'd have to think Harry Taylor would be done, wouldn't he?
Oh, if you want a flag, he would be.
Yeah, I think the defence is well set to continue on. I don't think you I don't think you'd need to hang on to Harry Taylor. I think the defence actually could improve with Harry Taylor not in it. And I'm not knocking Harry Taylor, just the mix of the defence, I think, with Colin Jasny taking more responsibility. Maybe that pushes Blitzarves back. If they get another midfielder, that means Blitzarves doesn't necessarily need to play in the midfield. So Blitzarves back, Colin Jasny is your key defender. I think that mix is actually better. And I'm not knocking Harry Taylor because he's been fantastic, and it's not a knock on him individually. It's just the balance of that defence with him not in it. So I think the defence is well set without Harry Taylor next year, and I think it probably would be time for him to hang up the boots.
Do you keep Henderson, Benny?
Well, you probably keep Henderson because, I mean, the young player they've got is Sam DeConning, who hasn't played a game, and he's still very much a young, developing player. So he couldn't possibly be expected to come in. I think you probably do keep Henderson for another season, which would be quite extraordinary. Bit of a sort of a Jude Bolton type arrangement, wouldn't it? You think he'd be done and then suddenly he's still playing reasonable footy. He's a few years younger than Harry Taylor and potentially plays a little bit more up the ground. So, I think you probably would consider keeping of the two of them. You keep one, and I'd say it's probably Henderson.
Yep. Lachie Neale, would you lock down on him on Saturday night?
Well, Geelong, they haven't locked down on much, can you, have they? They're not a lockdown sort of team. It's back to process and structure. I think you've got to be really... So they're not going to tag him. They just don't tag. They don't really have a tagger unless they can ask Cameron Link to come back just for that one, a one-off sort of a one-night appearance type sort of Elton John arrangement. they don't have a tagger. But what they've got to be really mindful of is him around clearances. I'd like to see Guthrie play a defensive role, slight defensive role around clearances. You can't allow... Lachie Neale is the key of winning the ball in close and dishing it out to teammates. You've got to find it. He's not going to find it, you know, on the wing and have four bounces and kick a goal from 50. That's not his game. But his game is in close. So you've got to stop his capacity to feed teammates.
Yep.
And that means locking him down around the stoppages. Once the ball's moved, then look to work off him because he's not quick. But you've got to pay him respect around the ball. Otherwise, you'll get it 30 times.
Do we take much out of the win back in Sydney? Back in, what was it, round six?
Oh, look. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought. It's too long ago. I mean, maybe. I mean, I'm sure both sides will look at it and they'll, you know, the team that lost will say there's plenty to work on. The team that won, Geelong, will say, yeah, we did this well, we did that well. Two, you know, it's so long ago that I don't know that you would. I just hope that Reece Stanley needs to play well. Oscar McInerney isn't a household name, but geez, he's a good player. He's a very good player. And he's big and he's gangly and he's not fashionable. He's a bit like the bloke who turns up at the pub with just his sort of, you know, you're in there having your refreshment, your brown bubbly water, and you've got your 20 cents up on the pool table, and this bloke walks in and he's got his op shop sort of arrangement on, and he's got a rolled up smoke out the corner of his mouth, and he puts his dollar up, and then it's the loser's off, and he's still on there at 11 o'clock. He hasn't lost. That's Oscar McInerney, because he just looks horrendous in terms of his fashion. I don't mean what he wears, I mean just the way he plays. But he's very, very effective. Stanley needs to play well. The other one for me, King, the big one, is who plays on Hipwood. Because Taylor and Henderson, they were suited. Well, Taylor certainly was suited to Cox last week. I'm not sure either of them are suited to Hipwood.
Too athletic.
He is. He's a 200 odd centimetre forward, but he's a mobile type. He's more of a, you know, like a Jeremy Cameron.
Yep.
Who moves around and he's really quick. I just don't know that. I just think it could be diabolical putting Harry Taylor on him. But then, who does Harry Taylor go to? Does he go to McStay? McStay is quite mobile as well.
Yep.
Those two aren't. McStay can take a contested mark, but they're not the sort of forward that you're just going to bomb the ball onto and they're going to outmark tackle four. They're mobile, move around types. That's a concern. Charlie Cameron, I suppose you just hand the keys to Buse and say, look, you know, you've got to hang on unless things are going horribly wrong and you might be able to try somebody like Mark O'Connor.
Yep. Yep.
Buse has got to be first crack there.
So does O'Connor, who goes to Link McCarthy then?
Well, I put sort of Jack Henry or O'Connor to McCarthy.
Yep.
Link's not a real high possession winner. So I think O'Connor would be well suited to him because O'Connor's obviously a lot taller, so he can match him in the air, which is one of the strengths of Link, even though he's not that tall.
Yep.
So I think that matchup works. You know, you've got Rayner. I'd probably maybe Henry to Rayner, O'Connor to McCarthy, Buse to Cameron. But hit would have been stay. I just, you know, if you're looking at it, and I know it's not going to happen, Blitzer is the perfect matchup for Hipwood.
Yep.
But that isn't going to happen, so we've just got to pray and hope. Who would you put, Taylor or Henderson to Hipwood?
Probably Henderson.
Yeah, I'd say that as well. Yeah, I'd have to go to Henderson and then try Taylor if that's not working. That means Taylor gets a big stay.
The thing that's got to happen, though, Benny, is that the Cats have got to have that pressure in the midfield because Hipwood likes the ball out in front and being able to move on to it. He's not a massive pack marker, so you've got to be actually forcing, whenever there's a forward 50 entry for the Lions, the Cats have got to be putting pressure on to make sure that ball's coming in high or it's not coming in clean. And if it's coming in clean, that's when Hipwood can tear you up.
100%. Brisbane will be saying exactly the same thing with Tom Hawkins, that they've got to have pressure on the midfield. Any team has to have pressure on the midfield. It's crucial for Geelong because it makes Henderson and Taylor infinitely better defenders if they are able to size the ball up in the air coming in and then move to it and defend. It's that quick ball movement that Taylor and Henderson aren't equipped to deal with because they don't have the leg speed.
Yep.
So when Geelong have played their best, they're absolutely pressured in the midfield. So that's got to be absolutely paramount in terms of getting the job done. Last week we were off the Cats. We got a bit criticised for getting... Well, we didn't get stuck into them, but we weren't up and about. We were a bit hesitant about their chances. I don't think that we were Robinson Crusoe, mind you, just judging by the Twitter feed on the K-Rock footy prior to the game. Geelong fans weren't exactly up and about the chances, were they?
No, they weren't. No, they were very... I think they went in fearing the worst and hoping for the best, and in the end, the hope won out over the fear. So, but this week it's different. Like I think we all go in going, gee, I tell you what, the Cats are a real chance here. But I did say last week I thought whoever won the semi final would go through Brisbane and get into a grand final, and I'm still confident about that.
I certainly think that can happen. I wouldn't say I'm confident. And I said this before their Port Adelaide game, if Geelong play their best or something nearing their best, they can beat Brisbane. And something nearing their best would have beaten Port Adelaide as well.
Correct.
For whatever reason, they didn't get near that, particularly after half-time. So their best and their ability to convert their chances, we saw it against Port, that didn't happen. Against Collingwood, they converted early. I mean, that's footy, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last week against Port Adelaide, they couldn't hit the side of the barn. Last week against Collingwood, you know, they couldn't miss. So it's really crucial that they, particularly early, just to put some doubt in the minds of the Brisbane players who are going to be probably a little nervous. As will Geelong be, but just put them on the back foot early. I reckon that would be huge in terms of winning the game.
Yep. All right, Ben, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, love the questions.
All right, Son of God 29. For all those not in the Sam Simpson fan club, I suggest you get on. For a guy in his first final, thought he was outstanding in the first half, clean with his hands and made space where there wasn't early on. The son of Sean will play a lot of footy for the GFC in years to come.
Yeah, and who's been saying that for a couple of years, Kiki?
I think you might have been saying that.
I've been saying that since early on, since I first saw him play he clearly wasn't equipped to play senior footy early on. He was way too light. But he just did some things that you thought, yeah, he's got a future. He's got a great sidestep. He's got footy smarts. He uses the ball well. He's creative. He's got it. He just needs to get to 50 or 60 games. And hopefully next year, he's a player that can play every game and really sort of fast-track his development. The confidence, if he was to play another good final, you know, the confidence he would get out of that would be enormous for his career, because he's physically ready. He's done the time at the VFL. He won the VFL Best and Fairest.
Last year, yep.
Won the VFL Best and Fairest. He's worked hard on building his body. He's had a little taste of senior footy. And he is ready to go. But if he doesn't play well this week, he's only playing his 14th game of AFL footy. So, you know, let's not get too excited. I don't know, Cat fans aren't thinking he's going to be the match winner. If he is, great. But he's only played 14 games. He is primed to really break out next year and become a force of the Cat.
All right, Daz Broncos, want to congratulate your team for an outstanding turnaround and fully removing the digits and getting the job done. Credit to Sam Simpson. The question, after making our fourth preliminary final in 5 years, can we win two more games? We know our top 10 players will stand up for the most part, but can our bottom six give us the best two games of their career to see us through? Simpson, Myers, Rowan, Collajasny, Parfitt, Stanley, give us another two games like Saturday night.
Well, that'd be great, Daz, wouldn't it, if that was to happen? That would, that's when any side is playing their best, when they're getting something from those sort of second and third tier players, for want of a better term. Stanley's crucial. His first quarter last week was brilliant. Grundy injured or sore or something.
That's why they've had to run with him and they ran with him and Cameron in the two finals, because I think they suspected Grundy couldn't run it out alone.
Yeah, well, and Stanley took full advantage in the first quarter. He had 8 possessions, 2 clearances, and kicked a goal. And Grundy didn't actually touch the ball in the first quarter. That helped set the Cats up. As I mentioned, McInerney, he's an underrated player. And if you underrate him and underestimate him, he'll pull your pants down. Stanley needs to play well and be a consistent presence throughout the game. And I think Parfitt had a good year. I think he and Simpson are similar type players, both creative, both good sidesteps. Parfitt's a good tackler.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if Brandon Parfitt doesn't play well. I think he can sort of... He's starting to move out of your second tier and getting closer to your first tier type player. And the other ones there, the one I'd like to see kick some goals is Myers.
Yep.
Kicked an early goal last week. He's dangerous inside forward 50. I'd love to see him hit the scoreboard. I think that, when Geelong have been playing well, Myers is a force forward of centre with a goal or two. The other one too is, can they... And I mean, it's hard to say this, but, the bloke who's probably been down a little bit, he was good early in the game last week, but Gary Ablett has struggled.
Yep.
He set up 2 goals in the first quarter, and then he had another high ball that came in that Dangerfield marked in the second quarter that he kicked a goal from. But apart from that, I think he touched the ball 7 times, and he was really quiet. Can Gary Ablett... when I say turn back the clock, he's not going to turn it back from 5 or 6 years ago, but can he turn back the clock and produce a couple of games where you say, geez, Gary Ablett's played well, he's had an influence on the game, because his capacity to use the ball well, make good decisions, if he can find it in space, could be the difference between winning and losing.
All right. Call to Daddy. We have asked for many weeks why Atkins was in the team and was told to balance out our side's defensive mindset. With him being replaced by a kid and showing we needed someone to actually get the ball, and playing him was a complete waste of time. In my opinion, it showed we missed a trick playing the likes of Fogg, Narkle, and even Close for a few more games. We were surprised that Atkins got dropped. We thought the defensive setup was needed with what Atkins provided, Benny, but the Cats pulled the right rein on that one.
Yeah, they did. They did. It worked. It worked against the Pies. I don't know that about it being a waste of time playing Atkins. I think, we've got to remember Tom Atkins is still a relatively inexperienced player. I mean, we're quick to hang guys who have played 20, 30 games. mean, I know he was mature age when he came in, but Jesus Christ, let's not start land-basing guys who have only played 30. Where are you going to be playing?
Yeah, mid-30s. Yep.
Yeah, and we're saying he's a waste of time. Like, give me a spell. I mean, Kane Lambert for Richmond, who ended up third their best in Paris, I think, in a premiership year, he wasn't tearing the world apart when he, after he played his 30th game. So, I mean, I think Atkins has to play a role within Geelong's team going forward. He's not going to be a star. He's going to be a foot soldier. But they're crucial in the wash-up. So, yeah, OK, he's not in the team at the moment, but I don't know. I can't have this. It's a waste of time playing him.
Yep. What are your thoughts on the players like Kruger, Ockenbaugh, Tarka? Will they hold their spot on our list for 2021 and beyond? Are there any of those players highly touted as AFL footballers? They really rate Ockenbaugh, and they really rate the fact he's a bit kamikaze in his attack on the footy. He's got no fear. Kruger they like. Kruger will be around. Tarka's probably going to struggle to hold his spot. It'll come down to retirements and what the list sizes are going to be. He's not a player that his name's been mentioned in dispatches as being close to a senior game. So when you're not your second year in, you're out of contract and you haven't really looked like it, it's probably hard to see that going him going on. But I don't know. It's hard to say because they're so far away from us. We haven't been able to watch scratch matches and the like to know what they're really thinking.
Yeah, look, and you're right. And it's, you know, Geelong, I suppose, are still going to think that they're in the premiership window next year. And if they were to make the grand final, you'd probably say rightly so, which means that probably, you know, alters the shape of your list to a degree. In the short term, now that might have long-term ramifications, but it'll be really interesting. What if they get Cameron, and then they were to add another midfielder, an experienced midfielder from somewhere? Then, yeah, list and the shortened list size is going to become pretty tight.
Yeah. Flogwater, it was pleasing to see Chris Scott and the team turn things around. As Ben has mentioned a few times lately, having the right mix of attack and defence in the 22 is vital. Now, his question, should Geelong recall a salver for the Lions game to provide another tall forward option? This should reduce reliance on Hawkins, and Radaglia provides another option of giving Stanley a break in the ruck, especially late in quarters. Or on the other hand, are you concerned that Radaglia's inclusion might mean that the team is too tall and the elusive best mix of all skill sets is missed?
Yeah, well, I just don't think they're changing the team. You probably couldn't on that effort last week. I think it'd be suicide to be changing that side. So, I mean, the other thing too is that Brisbane don't really have... I mean, they have Harris Andrews, but they don't have another tall defender.
No.
So, you know, does that change the thinking? You know, could they stretch them with Radaglia? The answer to that would probably be yes, but given the way they played, I just find it you could fathom that they would probably change that team.
Foxdog 50, hey boys, love the player or not, it's not a thing the club officials would like to tell any player about delisting. Which players do you think won't be at our club in 2021? I reckon, Benny, we might save that question for our post-mortem podcast rather than go through it now.
We'll wait till the season's over, and hopefully that's not for another couple of weeks, the Cats, but it'll be really interesting. I'd imagine some clarity around the Jeremy Cameron situation. And if Brian Cook's coming out and saying that we're basically all over Jeremy Cameron, I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up at all.
Turkey Tom, he just asked about the Chris Scott presser early in the week, and they said they were going to double down on the game plan. He's asked, do we know when they made the decision to change? Well, we're not really sure, but obviously during the week they've gone, hang on, how can we change things up a little bit compared to what we played against Port Adelaide? Pumpernickel, g'day boys, loved last week's podcast, favourite of the season, especially Benny giving the club a little honesty sandwich.
Well, not everybody was thrilled with that. But,
no, we got somebody called us. We got called two whiny Muppets.
Yeah, well, that's been. I'm happy with that. That gets the juices flowing, Key, when you get called an a whiny and muppet in the same sentence. But look, when you're sort of critiquing the team that you're married for, you ebb and flow, and there's things, it's not all going to be fantastic. And I thought Geelong let an opportunity slip against Port Adelaide because I thought their best would beat them. Now, they didn't produce their best, and they looked really poor in the third quarter in particular. So it was a great effort. While they played okay, they didn't get the chalky. So let's put it this way. If Geelong could beat Brisbane and Port Adelaide beat Richmond, I think Richmond will beat Port Adelaide, but if Port Adelaide beat Richmond and Geelong were playing Port Adelaide in a grand final, I reckon Geelong would start favourite, and I reckon Geelong would beat Port Adelaide. Mm.
He also loved your follow-up pre-game in the line of questioning fired at Matty Knight. So Pumpernickel with a little bit of praise after we got whacked last week. People are happy with this week, Benny. That's the way the media rolls.
Matty Knight was quite good in that interview, Kitty.
He was.
Matty Knight was quite good in that interview. I mean, it's hard to sometimes, people will understand that it's very difficult. Things that you would like to ask and you might say to your mate at the pub, it's very difficult to ask that question because, you want to try and keep the relationship with the club and you don't want to just be sort of negative all the time. So you've got to fashion the question that where there is a little bit of positive but you're actually asking something or questioning something that they're doing without making it sound really negative. There's a bit of an art to that. I know some people say, why don't you just ask it? In the bigger scheme of things, it's a little bit difficult, a little bit more difficult to do than people might understand.
Mr. Cat 10, great win by the boys on Saturday. Couldn't believe Kingy said the Cats couldn't win. I feel the easy win against the Pies has disguised the fact that the back line is still too tall and slow and will potentially be found out either this week or next. What do you guys think?
Was that the defence?
Yep.
Well, yeah, let's hope so. I mean, we said earlier there that midfield pressure is going to be the key. Geelong has to have midfield pressure. It makes any defence better, but it makes Geelong's defence really, really good because Henderson and Taylor are both really good ball readers off the boot.
Yep.
And if they've got time to judge that and get across, they're good at that. It's a quick one. But look, for me, it's got to be take the game on. Play with some dare. Okay, Geelong have said you've mastered the chip it round, and that's fine. But when they chip it around, it has to be move the ball. Chip it around, play on. Chip it around, play on. Chip around. It can't be chip it around, go back off the mark. Chip it back, go back off the mark. Richmond will eat that alive. And Richmond ate it alive about a month ago. And Port Adelaide didn't eat it alive, but Port Adelaide armbarred it and said, you're not going to beat us with that. Whereas on last Saturday night, there was some direction that clearly they were told, move the ball quick. Even if it's laterally, move it on. Keep moving it. Keep the ball in motion. And that puts the defence then under pressure. And if you only then need one player in the opposition to be off the mark in terms of where they're setting up defensively, and it gives you a chance then to go forward. And Geelong did that really well last week. They've got to do that and put the pressure on Brisbane's defence.
All right. Turbo Cat, was it a great win or a bad loss? How much Geelong and how much Collingwood, who have traditionally worried us, who looked like they'd run their race?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Geelong were great. Collingwood were horrific, let's be honest. But they were, yeah. I'm not sure what happened there, but they were terrible. So you have to be a little, and I'm sure, Chris Scott, I know I haven't been his number one fan, but Chris Scott would be well aware that maybe let's not get carried away with that because Collingwood was so far off the mark. And I'm sure that he probably would have, drummed that into his team that, okay, this team this week is going to be very, very different than the one we played last week. We need to take the positives, but we need just be well aware that what you're facing this week ain't going to be what you faced last week.
Turbo Cat also says, Chris Scott, great coach, G-R-E-A-T, or great coach, G-R-A-T-E?
Yeah, well, you know my thoughts on that. look, let's hope that we're all having the last laugh. Well, he'll have the last laugh if they win the flag, and no doubt supporters will be laughing along too. He's done a good job this year. It's been difficult circumstances, not just for the Cats, but for every team. But he has done a good job. And I said, what was it? Maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago when Geelong had beaten Port Adelaide and St Kilda, that maybe the environment in the hub has actually helped Chris Scott in terms of his relationship with the group, because it's forced him potentially to have conversations that he wouldn't have had at the club, and created that relationship with players. And maybe that's what helped play out during the week from Port Adelaide to Collingwood.
Yep.
Maybe he was able to tap into that and say, and the players responded to that. I don't know that. You would have to ask the playing group. But maybe that was part of the reason that they were able to rebound from Port Adelaide, because they do have a better relationship and a better mix within the group. So I agree. He's done a good job this year. Let's hope he can keep it going for two more weeks.
Yep. NQ Flog, love your work, guys. Well done on the Cats and a great win. I am confident we have the Lions covered on most lines. Only concern is their small forwards. Plus, they do have goal-kicking mids. How do we deal with Charlie Cameron? Oh, I think we've answered that. I think it's Busey's got a big job to do.
He has, yep. It's probably one of the key matchups, in the game, really. Cameron's one of those blokes who can do pretty explosive things, and he can kick 3 goals in 5 minutes. Busey's going to have a good game.
Yep.
And he's well equipped. He's ready to go. He's got the experience. He played well last week, particularly early. It was really good. He's primed. This is sort of what Geelong have developed Jed Buse for. To be that bloke who can do that.
How much do you think Jeremy Cameron is worth per season? I'd probably put him at around the 650 to 750 mark.
Oh, that'd be nice, Nicky. Is that sort of around your K-Rock arrangement?
That's less, actually.
Right, well, you might be able to lend him something. So you can certainly lend me some. Are we talking normal rates or COVID rates?
Well, probably COVID rates.
Yeah, well, probably 600, 700. Good chart, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. To go and kick a footy around, I wouldn't be upset with that.
No.
I wouldn't be upset. And finally, he just makes a statement. If we lose Narkle to bring in Higgins, I think we've lost the balance of the future versus the now. But I think Sean Higgins is coming.
Well, I think he's certainly coming. Higgins and Cameron into the mix. I do agree it would be disappointing to lose Narkle. I do like him as a player. I think he's a good clearance player. He kicks goals. He's elusive. I'd be really disappointed to lose Narkle.
Yep.
And that is a... If they do, they lose Higgins bringing Narkle. It's certainly for a short-term gain, but there may be some long-term pain in that.
Yep. Benny, we also got a bit of correspondence from Jared Kerr from Kerr's High, just saying thank you for keeping the podcast going throughout the year. So that was nice from Jared and all the team at Kerr's High. Well, that's where we might wrap things up for this week. Benny's gone. He's on the road, and we've lost him. So unless he comes back miraculously in the next 10 seconds. This has been the Cat Attack Podcast for Kerr's High. K-Rock Footy, 6 o'clock Friday night for Port Adelaide and Richmond, and then 6 o'clock on Saturday night for the Cats and the Lions. Thanks to Kerr's High. This has been the Cat Attack Podcast.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.